slips into the hasty assumption that he must be slow. This was an entirely understandable mistake for those unfamiliar with the man to make. 6 inches shy of 8 feet tall and as wide as a small car, moving with any kind of speed would necessitate strength and agility far in excess of what a reasonable person might think feasible for a man of such stature. If that same, likely doomed, individual knew that Roland weighed nearly 1,000 pounds, he could be justifiably relied upon to dismiss the thought of so large a person covering a distance of, say, 30 feet in 1/2 of 1 second. While the misapprehension might be entirely understandable, the person was likely to die horribly all the same. This hypothetical miscreant, being not so hypothetical in the wet alleyways of this particular dockside Friday night, might have 6 friends with him as well. They would be no help to him, which would make him sad during the all-too-brief moment of clarity he enjoyed before Roland hit him. Roland's hand struck the coverall-clad attacker in the chest. At the last instant, he opened his fist to strike with his palm. As an afterthought, he pulled the blow so as not to shatter the man's ribs or sternum. Instead of a gruesome and instant death, the unfortunate thug accelerated from a standstill to approximately 30 miles per hour in the space of about 1/8 of a second. The breath left his lungs with a whoosh, and his feet separated from the ground with so much violence that he left his boots behind. Off into the mist and drizzle the man flew, until the unforgiving stoicism of a concrete wall arrested his flight, and he crumpled to the street with a sloppy splash. His hood had slipped from his head during his transit, and a clue as to his origins became abruptly visible. Others may not have seen it, considering the rain and darkness, but Roland's night vision was far better than average. The sight of it made him regret sparing the man's life, though this was an oversight he could rectify later if he wanted to. The big man straightened, rolling his shoulders back and cocking his head from side to side as if it was stiff and needed a stretch. It did not, but Roland was not above showboating just a little. These men were about to pay the full admission price for their attempt on his life, and Roland figured they were thus entitled to the whole production.
"Somebody," he growled, "is going to have to answer for my ruined shirt."
He turned to assess the remaining 6 men. They stood in the alleyway, hunched against the slick walls with guns in their shaking hands. Their black workman's coveralls were sodden and clinging to their bodies, black hoods pulled low to cast deep shadows over their faces. Roland needed very little light to see, so the effect was wasted on him. It was yet another deficiency in what should have been a textbook hit, if not for a single fatal flaw in the execution. These obviously professional killers had thought they were hunting a man. Their weapons were concealable yet lethal. They had picked an ambush point that was private and had only one exit. They had struck with accurate fire from more than one direction. If Roland had been anything other than what he was, it would have been a perfect assassination. Roland, however, was exactly what he had been made to be. Thus, it followed that the little squad of hitters was about to suffer a slew of career-ending injuries. The location of the ambush, selected so carefully to keep the ambushee from escaping, now served the same purpose against the ambushers. There was only one way out of the alley, and Roland was blocking it. Charitable individuals might choose this moment to point out that this situation was entirely unfair. There was no way this squad of assassins could have known that their target was the sole surviving member of a top-secret warfighter enhancement project. They could not know that his whole body was constructed of exotic techno-organic bone and muscle analogues, driven by the same power cell used in large military vehicles. No one had told them that his skin was thickly armored, or that his neurological processes were greatly accelerated by the millions of nanomachines that swam around his manufactured body. Roland was a technological juggernaut, birthed by the darkest corners of the industrial-military complex, manipulated and enslaved by a secret cabal of corrupt military and business leaders, and subsequently discarded when his existence became a liability to the government. Roland did not like to discuss such things, and the Planetary Council would have him imprisoned or destroyed if he did. So it was unsurprising that a bunch of lightly armed killers of indeterminate origin found themselves ignorant of their own inadequacies. Bereft of any other course of action, the remaining men opened fire in